So connect, grow, and serve. That's our mantra. That's what we're all about here at Grace Lutheran Church. And last week, Pastor Rich talked about how we, as a church, our main thrust has to be connecting people to Jesus. Like that has to be the main thing. And if we're not doing that, we really have to wonder why we exist. We can't just sit in a holy huddle. We can't just stay here kind of doing our thing. We have to go out in this world that's hurting, that needs the hope and joy of Jesus, and tell them that Jesus loves them, that he forgives them, that he gives them hope and joy that can be found nowhere else in this world. And then once somebody knows Jesus as Savior, we want them to continue to grow. Jesus meets us all where we're at, but he doesn't expect us to stay just where we're at. He has more for us than what we have for ourselves. So he wants us to grow, become more and more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us this gift of faith, and then he continues to grow our faith in him. He wants us to be more and more like Jesus as we age. And faith and spiritual maturity is not based on how old you are. There could be a 12-year-old sitting in here right now that's more mature than a 50-year-old. That's just how God works. It's not, faith is not, spiritual growth is not age-based. It's simply Jesus starts us, we're all in different places, and he continues to grow our faith. Some quicker than others, some slower, some have to go through, you know, like being hit over the head by a 2x4. Some others get it just by observing said person that got hit by a 2x4. It's just the way kind of it works. So over the years, like you, Jesus has been growing my faith and trust and reliance on him. But like you also, he grows us in different areas of our lives. And one area he has grown me in is as a handyman. You see, I used to be known as Danny. Now I am known as Handy Danny. So over the years, I've learned how to use a lot of these things. I mean, I knew how to use a hammer, you know. I mean, that was pretty easy, but now I don't hit my thumb as much. And I love, this is very therapeutic for me. Caulking is very therapeutic. If I see a crack, I will go get my caulk and I will just fill it in. And it brings me so much joy. I've learned how to do it, and look, it looks professional. So I love that. And who could not love a drill? I mean, you gotta love these. I've learned how to just utilize all of the little bits that come with drills, and in many different ways. I've got a glove here that proves I'm not lying to you. I actually use these pretty much every weekend doing something around my 50-year-old house. And then I've learned how to sand. I've grown in knowing how to sand, what type of grit to use for various applications. And then you also have to know how to paint, but properly also clean your brushes when you're done. Notice, this one's pretty clean. I've learned how to do that. I don't just throw them away. Sorry, that's some of y'all I know probably do. I don't. So I've learned how to use all of these tools over the years, and I've grown in that area of my life. Now, why? Well, when I first got married to my lovely wife, Sarah, she didn't think much of my handyman skills. And she had every right to, because they were non-existent. I didn't know how to do much of anything outside of some light bulbs and some yard work. That was pretty much it. My grandfather was very handy. He could fix or put together almost anything on a house and a car, even built his own house. And then my uncle was a master electrician. But both of them died at a young age, so I didn't get to sit under them and be discipled by them in the ways of those type of skills in life. And so as a result, when my dad and I tried to fix something, we would usually break it worse than it was trying to fix it. And so we learned how to call the right person to help us fix whatever. We knew who to call. But over the years, I've had people in my life show me how to do things, like my father-in-law, Roger, who has shown me how the proper way to paint or to spackle or to do various things. And then you have people that you have, I've been on mission trips with people that showed me proper ways to do home construction. Or you can go on YouTube and just show, like, put your model number of your kitchen faucet in, and there's somebody repairing what you need to repair, and they tell you, show you how to hack it and do right, do it the right way. It's awesome. So I've learned how to put AC actuators in Chevy Tahoes and how to prep and stain a deck properly. All of these ways I've been able to grow. Mainly, the most important way is just having somebody sit with me and disciple me and teach me how to do it. Maybe even let me do it while they're present so that they teach me the proper way to do it. It's been a great blessing and gift. But the other issue is when you grow, at some level, you have to want to grow. You have to want to put in the work. Well, I wanted to provide for my wife and family so we wouldn't have to call someone every time something happened in our house, that we could save some money and do it ourselves. Now, I still need professional help every now and then and some guidance from the outside because, like you, I'm still continuously under construction. We're still learning and going and growing as we move forward. And that's kind of how our faith life works, too. At some level, you got to want to grow in faith in Jesus. When you love somebody, what do you want to do? You want to be with them. You want to grow in relationship with them. And that's how this works too. Jesus calls us to know him and to share his love and his grace. But we got to want at some level to do it as well. And then we also need people to come alongside us, to walk with us, to teach us how to read our Bible when we're by ourselves, or to encourage us or teach us how to pray or to pray with us. We need spiritual mentors like pastors or grace group leaders or Bible study teachers. We need DCEs to help us out. We need those people around us to help us grow in faith. The Apostle Paul says up there, there's apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, and what are they to do? It says in Ephesians. They're to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And as pastors, Pastor Rich and myself, Jesus has given us the honor and privilege, and most importantly, the calling to deliver the goods to you. And the goods are grace and forgiveness of Jesus, to share how much Jesus loves you from his word, to baptize you, to give you communion. Like, these are great gifts that Jesus has given you, and he uses us as pastors to do that. And here's what's awesome about Jesus too. He uses the body of Christ, you and me, to encourage one another, to encourage those who don't know Jesus as Savior, as we're building relationships with them, and to spur one another on to growth. He uses us as part of his plan. And Ashley, our DCE, our Sunday school teachers, our Bible study teachers, our grace group leaders, Pastor Rich and myself, we're all joining together, unified, and wanting to make sure that all of us are growing in faith in Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that you have the tools in your tool belt to grow in faith in Jesus. Because here's the reality. Pastor Rich and I are not always in your car or at your dinner table or in your living room when you're having conversations with people or at your office. Now, you can always call us or email us or text us, but we have to be able to equip you to grow in faith without us being present, like by your shoulder, like all the time, like, Pastor Rich, what do I do? We're not always there. So that's why we have everybody, we all join together in making sure that we have tools in our tool belt to connect, grow, and serve. And so if we expand this, connect, grow, and serve, we see a desire for all of the family of grace. Anybody who worships with us online, or anybody who engages with our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, we desire for everyone to know Jesus as Savior, to connect with Jesus, to grow in faith of Jesus, and then to serve in the name of Jesus. Anybody who comes onto this campus, we desire for them to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and to know that they are loved and that they are valued and that they're forgiven. We want you to have the goods of Jesus so that you can share this hope and joy with those in your circles of influence. And so we speak the truth in love, as Paul talked about in Ephesians, to everyone we encounter. We want people to know Jesus as Savior. First, we want them to know Jesus and then to grow in relationship with Jesus. We want to speak the truth in love. We want everybody to know everyone's needed. And so we're growing to know and we're knowing to grow in Jesus together. And this truth without love makes something called cactus Christians. All prickly and full of good points, but painfully difficult to be around. And love without truth makes cotton candy Christians. Taste good, they look good, but there's really nothing to them. They're all fluff. But truth in love makes Christ-like Christians, followers of Jesus. Truth, as important as it is, must always be taught in a loving manner so that people can actually hear it and receive it. And so the main truth presented by the church should be that God loves us. He forgives us. He sees us. He values us. He desires us. He desires nothing more than to be in fellowship with us. After all, why did Jesus live, die, and rise to forgive us if that's not what he desired? That's his whole reason he did what he did for us. To die and to rise. And Jesus is the perfect example of how this is carried out. Look at what he did during his life and his ministry. He never avoided the truth. He spoke it plainly. He spoke it clearly in the most loving words possible. As verse 15 states in Ephesians, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head. So who's the head? Sunday school answer? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. See, the body grows from the top to the bottom. And I want you to see this picture. I had it in my head, and this is what I saw in my head. It's not the best picture, but it's Jesus basically with a mullet, which is not how I picture Jesus, but maybe he had a mullet, you know? Business in the front, party in the back. I don't know. But what is most important, not distracting myself or you from the picture, is all of those little squigglies in the middle are pictures of people. And so you see that the head of the church is Christ, and the church is his people. And without any of those people that are in that picture that make up the body of Christ, we would be missing something. So what is that saying? We all are needed. We're all valued. We are all the body of Christ that is here to encourage and to build up one another and to share the hope and joy of Jesus, to grow in faith. Now, you may be saying, well, what role do I play? Well, here's just something funny I saw. I had to get it. It says this. I think this whole body parts idea is cool. Yeah, everyone plays a part, and every part's necessary, except for the appendix. I wonder who's the appendix. If it's not you, maybe it's your neighbor. I don't know. But it's still valuable and still needed, okay? Everybody's needed. Everybody's valuable. I just thought that was funny. And then I want to share with you a little story by an unknown author that gives an interesting illustration of one believer not being present or not being part of the body of Christ, how they're missing. In this story, a broken key. And I'm going to read it for you because it's kind of hard to sometimes read it. It may be hard for me too. Even though my typewriter is an old model, it works quite well except for one of the keys. I have many times wished that it worked perfectly. There's a spelling error there on that story. It is true that there are 41 keys that function well enough, but just one key not working makes the difference. Sometimes it seems to me that our church is something like my typewriter. Not all the key people are working properly. As one of them, you may say to yourself, well, I am only one person. I don't make or break the church. But it does make a big difference because a church, to be effective, needs the active participation of every person. So the next time your efforts are not needed very much, remember my typewriter and say to yourself, I am a key person in the congregation and I am needed very much. This is what happens to the whole church, and multiply this by many times, the whole thing just does not make sense. Beloved, don't be like a broken key. We're all needed. We're all needed to make sure that people are in encountering Jesus and knowing Jesus as Savior. We have to connect to people to Jesus. We have to make sure that they're growing in faith in Jesus, and you and I are growing in faith in Jesus and in relationship to one another as we're encouraging and spurring one another on. And then we can serve with the love of Jesus so that people hopefully see Jesus and they connect with him. That's our hope and our prayer. As you and I receive the grace and forgiveness of Jesus that never ends. In his name and to his glory, amen. Please rise.